This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Rossi, how are you?
I'm a little sad, Lawrence. Our last radio show, this is like a sad time for me. I really enjoyed hanging out, talking to you once a week, and I know we're on our last one. So I'm looking to enjoy this one. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I hope that we can extend. I'm going to talk with the boss to see if they can get some money. I want to extend this because I do want to get into the postseason. I want to talk with you about all the postseason stuff. But yeah, man, it's weird, like how quickly it's so weird that you brought that up, Rossi, because I thought about it too. Where you look up and we're building this on air relationship, and then poof, the season's over.
Yeah, it's been a quick one. I just was thinking, like, we were talking in the clubhouse yesterday with some of the coaches, and like you look up and what are we, like, 6 games left and a 60-game season? Like, we would have over 100 games left. Like, that's crazy to think about as this season's gone on and where we're at and how quickly things have happened and, you know, this kind of unique season. But, yeah, another 100 games in a regular season just made me kind of chuckle yesterday. It's going by really fast.
Yeah, you're, as a manager, it's been trial by fire for you. I mean, obviously, this is not the way that you expected your first season of managing the Cubs to go, but here you are with a first place team with 6 games left to go. So what do you think has been the most challenging part of the journey so far this season for you?
Oh, man. I'm just kind of learning on the fly. Definitely have taken my lumps and learned lessons along the way. I think the challenging part was a lot of non-baseball early on, things that I wasn't really equipped for or had never experienced in my life. What's going on the outside world with the racism and the injustice in kind of our communities, and then you're talking about the pandemic and shutting things down, and after getting through a spring training and feeling like you're in a good place as a team, and shutting down for 2 or 3 months and getting cranked back up in another unique situation, and then, you know, still going through all these testings and travel and protocols that are different, and then getting ready to start a postseason push here with you know, even new obstacles to overcome. So yeah, just a lot of things that have gone on that you know, that are first for me, and I've leaned on my coaching staff, the players heavily. I've got a great group of guys surrounding me. The organization has got great leadership in it. Yeah, man, it's been unique for sure, but I definitely think we're all going to come out better at the end of this going through this unique season.
As you were coming on, I was talking about you guys getting your first couple of runs, and I love the way that they were made out of hustle. Like, you were actually kind of generating runs. You weren't counting on a long ball. Guys were doing their job. So with Kyle in particular, and overall, when it comes to those guys backing you and understanding that if you do something, if you pull a player, if you tell a guy to do something and they back you, what does that mean to you and your relationship when it comes to those guys inside that clubhouse, that they trust you, that you know what you're doing?
I think that goes to them, really. That goes to their character and their belief in me. I try to show them love. I think they know I care about them and that I love all of them. I mean, there's some real history with most of those guys. in that clubhouse. So I think they know that I'm looking out for their best interest and the best interest of the team. And I have my job to do and as a manager, and they have their job to do as a player, but we all try to work through some things. And I think in this job, you have to set standards of what is expected from this seat that I sit in now. And sometimes, you know, that comes with just a conversation. Sometimes that comes with tough love. And, you know, I think you just are constantly trying to let guys know where everybody's at and communicating that as best you can from this seat.
I read the book, so I know that you have a lot of people that have helped you along the way, like grow in, whether it was your own thing of becoming a better teammate. But when it comes to the concept of leadership, where do you think you learned the most and that you've been able to apply now moving into a managerial role?
Oh, man. Well, I think it's a little bit, a lot of pieces from different managers. I think most people would like to play for one organization and be, you know, your Chipper Jones or the group that stays with one team and becomes a Hall of Famer. Like, that's the goal. But, you know, playing for a bunch of different teams and being kind of a journeyman in Major League Baseball, I got to learn from guys like Bobby Cox and obviously Joe Maddon and Jim Tracy early on and Terry Francona. And, I mean, the list goes on and on of guys that I've played for. And you see good and bad. So probably the most, if I really want to grab one, it's probably a toss up between a guy like Bobby Cox, where I learned a lot from sitting next to him and being on the bench and how he treated people and players and trust and expectations. And then, you know, there's the flip side of that I think are very similar, which you would probably wouldn't assume as a casual fan, but being around these two gentlemen, like Joe Maddon and him, are very similar in their mindset and their old school baseball theories. One guy, I think both guys go about it maybe a little bit differently, but learned probably the most from those two on the back end of my career about expectations, winning, letting the players, trusting the players, let them be themselves, and belief in those guys and treating them the right way and having expectations.
Cubs manager David Ross joining me here on The Score. What's the plan for KB and how's he doing?
I haven't spoke to him this morning. I hadn't been into the field yet. He was getting treatment last night, getting checked out. He'll be checked out today, see how he comes in, and you know, I'll kind of read that. I'll try to address the media today with an update with him and see. You know, right now he's day to day, hoping it's not something too serious. But when you're talking about oblique or side stuff that's grabbing when you swing or check swing, it's extremely difficult to go out there and perform at the caliber that he needs to perform at and stay healthy and not do something really damaging. So we'll check that out today and I'll get back, you know, with the media this afternoon.
It what sucks for KB is, and I heard you talking about it, and I wanted to pay really close attention to it when you were talking about it last week. Obviously, he's not hitting the way that he would like to hit, but his defense this year, I think, has been tremendous. I know you brought it up. What have you seen from KB at third that you've liked?
I love that you say it sucked. It was great. It does suck when you're not doing well. That was great. You know, what I've seen from him is just, even with him not hitting, he has a focus on, you know, how he can impact a team. Like, when he has gotten on, like, his base running has been unbelievable. And my favorite guy to watch run the bases on our team, this guy goes first to third as easy as anybody. It's clean, it's crisp, it's easy flow. And then the work he's put on defensively with Andy Green, our infield guy, and my bench coach, really kind of adjusting some of his pre-pitch mechanics and how he sets up and how he gets ready, and Andy addressed some of those things and tried to help him out just a little bit of how he was getting ready as the ball was entering the zone. And I think just relaxing a little bit, being a little freer, and putting in the work with Andy every day before even anybody gets in the ballpark has been a credit to him and wanting to get better and affect the team as best he can. And he's really done that, man. He is playing some really clean defense. Looks great over there. Saved us a lot of runs this year. really helped our pitching staff out. Our pitching staff has got great numbers this year, and it's a lot to have to do with our defense, and KB's been a big part of that.
John Lester was really reflective last week talking about what possibly could have been his last start at Wrigley Field. How would you describe what he's meant to this franchise?
Oh, man, I can't even shoot. I don't know that I got the words for that, Lawrence. He's a pro's pro. The guy has come in here with a winning mindset, the resume that you need to set standards. He's an example every day when he walks in that door of a guy that is not there to he's not there to BS. He's not there to have fun. He's there to work. He comes into work every day with his routine. When he gets his work done, then he's going to interact and he's going to have some fun. Then he's going to relax a little bit. But his 4-day routine when he's not on the mound is one of the best I've ever seen. And then the expectations of winning and performance when he steps out on that bump, and his expectations for him and the rest of the group are very high. He holds a high standard. And if you're not capable of dealing with that, he's going to let you know. So the guy came here to win. He's done nothing but win and change his franchise and bring it a World Series that was lacking. And obviously there's a lot of pieces that got to fall into place, but John Lester was the first one of those to me. I don't know how to say it any more than this guy has been everything you would expect him to be. And that's why they gave him all that money, is because he's earned every dime of that.
When you're trying to figure out what to do rotationally, does John's history in the postseason factor in at all?
Oh yeah. I trust guys that have been out. Listen, the playoffs is a different beast. Like you're not sticking a rookie out on the mound and expecting them to just handle the moment in the postseason. It's a different animal. John's a guy that has shown that his game even upticks when he steps out there in the postseason. So yeah, I take that in consideration for sure.
He's a fascinating case because he's really good in the regular season. Then you look at the postseason, you're like, wow, you know, because I do think that there's something that can't be quantified with it, that there's something in the preparation and in being able to handle the moment of it, that even without a crowd, understanding that you could be in a win or go home situation is stressful, and the best pitchers are the ones that can slow their heartbeat down before they throw a pitch in those situations.
You're exactly right. I mean, it's about the presence on the mound and slowing the heartbeat, slowing the thoughts, being able to process your thoughts, process your ability to execute pitches in a high stressful moment. You know, when the heart rate gets up, which it's up, it doesn't matter for the veteran or the rookie, it's up. But then taking that heart rate and still being in control of your body, in control of your mind, in control of your emotions, that's the separator. You have to be able to harness that energy and use it for good. And John's done that over and over again, and it takes him to the next level. And that's the difference maker to me between great postseason players and the ones that the expectations are always there and they have great regular season numbers because it's just an everyday grind. And then you get to the postseason, and sometimes you see those guys that struggle in the postseason, that haven't been there that much, and try to do too much and forget how to just either have your bat or execute the pitch or just continue to take it one pitch at a time, whether you're in the box or on the mound. John does a great job of that, and he's done that for a long time.
What are you looking to see from Quintana tonight?
I'm looking for him to show us what he showed last time before he got hurt. He was really sharp. Looking a little bit for just how he's executing pitches, and then I'm just looking for him to get out there, get his pitches in, and stay healthy. I mean, that's the main thing with Q. Good resume, been doing it a long time. Looked really good coming off his last injury. I had a little bit of a setback, so he's been itching to get back out there. He's been in my office a couple times wanting to get the ball, so I'm finally ready with the trainer's permission to be able to turn him loose and get out there and watch him pitch.
Your team has been hit with a lot of stuff this year, Rossi. I mean, along with all the big picture stuff. I mean, there's been freak accidents, there's been injuries, and you're still 10 games above 500. You're still in first place. What does that say to you?
We got a resilient group. That's what it tells me. It tells me we're talented at one in a lot of areas. You know, when we didn't pitch, we came up with timely hitting, and we haven't hit the way we're capable of hitting, and we're still in a really good place. I think the credit should always and go to the players, the way they've handled the adversity this year, and something that I challenged them with early on about dealing with adversity, and the way they've attacked that and stayed connected to one another. It's a tight-knit group. They love each other. They care about each other's performance. You see it daily. You see them lifting guys up. You see the same attitude. You see the work ethic every single day. I think it has all to do with the character of this baseball team. It stands out to me every day.
Getting into the dance is like the most important thing, but would it mean something to go into the playoffs having won a division?
You know, in this format, I mean, you got to get it. I mean, winning the division is always the goal, right? I mean, you want winning the World Series is my goal, and that's, you know, I think there's other goals that are nice to attain, and obviously you get that's a big deal. I don't think we take that lightly, but the ultimate goal is to win a World Series. So yeah, that's nice. I mean, anything that you're top of or first place is great.
Rossi, this has been a lot of fun, man. I really have enjoyed this.
I look forward to you. You're a human being, Lawrence. I appreciate. I really do enjoy talking to you. I hope the listeners have enjoyed this banter between me and you. I was coming at you hot early on, trying to be my pitching coach, and we had to check you real quick. And then we're back into having some fun. So it's been a fun year, man. I really enjoyed talking to you, and I appreciate your candor every single day, man. It's a joy.
I'm right there with you, and I'm hoping that when we get to the place where we can spend a little bit more time together, like in person, we got donuts to talk about. I want to get my copy of Teammate signed, like all of that stuff. So good luck, man, in the postseason. I really appreciate you being on.
I'm all in on the donuts. Take care, man. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. That is David Ross.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.